Well, delighted to say that for the big interview tonight, we have Alexander Sims just been released, that he will be part of the Cadillac GTP squad in IMSA next year. Alexander, first of all, thank you for joining us. Do we find you fit and well?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, all very good at the moment.
Good to have your company. Thank you for your time. Congratulations. No stranger to the bow tie, of course, with your Corvette. Hello to the family.
Sorry.
It's all right. Don't worry. That's great. No stranger to the bow tie with the Corvette work mm-hmm. that you've done in the past. How did all this come about then? Did you have to knock on their door? Did you have to bang on somebody's table? Or was somebody nice enough to come and tap you on the shoulder?
Thankfully it was more of the latter.
Great.
After Le Mans, actually, that with Corvette unfortunately ended prematurely, but we were in a very good position when we effectively hit off. Thankfully Le Mans, I guess personally, went well for me in terms of my competitiveness, and yeah, to be honest, the whole Corvette program for the last 2 years has been pretty decent from my performance perspective. I think the guys at Action Express were looking for a driver for next year, and the powers that be at GM sort of tried to connect us.
Good.
Which was really nice.
Yeah, that's good when everything comes together. The virtuous circle, which is rather nice, rather than a vicious one, which sometimes happens in this business, and we know all about that. Before I ask you about the new project, what's it been like working with Pratt & Miller, with GM Racing, with Corvette, a brand that has so much history and is so dear to the hearts of so many people, not just in the States, but around the world?
Yeah, it was wonderful to be a part of that program. Honestly, it was the group of people at Pratt Miller are brilliant to work with. You know, got on with them extremely well on a personal level, but obviously also on a professional level as well. You know, they're very very competent at their jobs, but great fun to work with. The Corvette car was just brilliant to drive. You know, I can't stress enough how well prepared that thing is and how honed it is on a racetrack in terms of the setup and things. It just drives beautifully. So to drive the C8 this year and last year was really, really one of the highlights of my GT racing career.
We're going to miss those GTE cars, aren't we? You're going to miss them as drivers, and I think we are going to miss them as spectators. I really do.
Yeah, they just add something special to GT racing. I think that GTD is great as well. You know, don't get me wrong, but no. To not have the ABS driver aid challenges you so much more as a driver. You know, you've got to get the car balanced perfectly on entry to all the different corners that we have, bumpy braking zones and stuff. And it's they're just a really nicely put together car, but things move on and things change, and that's just the way it goes, you know.
But in some respects, though, Alexander, has driving those ultimate iterations of GT cars, as you have done for Corvette and prior to that front of the manufacturer, has that put you in a decent spot for making the changeover to the prototypes, which, I mean, you look at some of those, I mean, you look at that C8R, and there's elements of prototype thinking within those cars. It's not just come off a showroom floor, has it? So has that helped you in the way you drive the prototypes?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess we'll get on to talking a bit about the Cadillac and GTP in a second. But, I mean, just sort of jumping the gun a bit, it's surprisingly similar in terms of the driving needed between a GTE car and a prototype. Okay, you know, prototypes have more downforce, the high speed is another level, but in terms of the actual driver inputs that you make with how you brake, how you balance the car into the corner with the steering, it's so far the testing that I've done, it's been surprisingly similar. So, yeah, it seems to have been a pretty good founding for me.
Well, let's talk about that testing. First of all, the car looks absolutely stunning. We've seen a couple of launch liveries at the moment. I'm sure we'll see more. The cars are going to be out again straight after Petit Le Mans. That's going to be my first opportunity to see them up close and personal. And I'm telling you now, I'm very, very excited. A completely new formula for IMSA that's been in the works for a little while always provides an opportunity. How's that testing gone in terms of learning the car for you and the team, you learning about the team learning about you, and everything that has to happen in a brand new project? There's an awful lot to happen, isn't there?
There is, and yeah, it's largely gone well. Inevitably, you know, some hiccups along the way, some learning processes that just need to happen with a new car, whether that be from my side or technical side or whatever. But the testing's going well. We've had a solid amount of laps now at different circuits, and yeah, getting used to that sort of higher downforce driving again, which is. Honestly, you know, it's been a fair few years since I was last driving Formula 3 in LMP2, but yeah, it seems to be coming back to me all right.
Is there any? We know that the current DPIs are built on the spines of the four LMP2 manufacturers, and all the LMP2 manufacturers are involved with one or another. In some case, with Zahara, it's two manufacturers for GTP, LMDH. Is there any kind of correlation between what you remember from older LMP2s and what you've got here? Or are they completely different animals now?
Well, I was lucky enough to actually drive Action Express's DPI car, what was it now? Two or so months ago, as right. I guess a bit of a test.
Oh, interesting.
Precursor for the LMDH deal. And that's the only time I've ever driven a DPI car, but that was really impressive. You know, that was really high downforce. And so my feeling so far is that the GTP cars are a little bit heavier, but more power.
Yeah.
And probably, I don't know if it's similar downforce, but the same weight, or maybe a touch less downforce. But, you know, the feeling of the car in the high speed corners is a little bit lower performance, but the actual power from the engine is brilliant. And so, yeah, top speed is pretty impressive. So I think this ending up being at a similar lap time.
Yes, and this is what I'm hearing. So this is good news for us. I mean, it doesn't matter if everybody's going at the same speed and everybody's racing. It doesn't matter whether we're breaking lap records or not. But what it does do is allows IMSA to keep the P2s at a similar level to what they are now for at least another season, which is great news for the P2 teams. But this is an all-new 5.5-litre double overhead cam V8 that you've got sitting behind this. So that when we talk about this being all brand new, Alexander, it is all brand new.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is literally all brand new to me in particular, you know.
Does that help? I mean, does that help because you've got no preconceptions effectively from the previous car?
Perhaps. Yeah, perhaps. I mean, it's one of those. It's just the situation that I'm faced with. So, you know, you just got to crack on and get on with it and learn as fast as you can. But yeah, we'll see during the next few tests that we've got and the racing next year how experience or lack of experience works out. You know, to be honest, I'm sure most people still opt to have plenty of experience over none. But hey, I mean, you suck it and see and get on with it.
It's been and I say this in the nicest way. You've been and done a few laps in this business. You've been around the block a few times. And I know that you watch the sport as a whole. It's been a very different development for this new formula where manufacturers who are going to be daggers drawn come the Raw and the Rolex 24 at Daytona, they've had to pool their resources in some respects. I've not seen anything like that before. How's that manifested itself for you guys? Have you been aware of that, or have you come into it later in the loop, as it were?
Well, yeah, I'm aware that there's been quite a lot of collaboration between manufacturers to just try and get testing going, understanding that you know, realistically, decisions have needed to be made for the greater good of the sport, not necessarily what's just good for one manufacturer, which is really, really nice to see. I think we're probably getting to the stage where, well, I don't know the ins and outs, you know, you'd have to ask the motorsport program leaders, but yeah, it seems like we're getting to a stage where manufacturers are kind of starting to focus on stuff on their own now, but it's nice that we've been able to get here in a as I say, collaborative way to make sure cars get running.
You were out, I think, at both Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta and Watkins Glen International. Well, Watkins Glen's nice and smooth, and Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta is not quite as smooth. So two different enough circuits to gather different types of data, Alexander?
Yes, yeah. I mean, it's just a constant learning process that we're in. Yeah, Watkins Glen was the most recent track that we've been to, and it was a pleasure to drive around that place again. It's been a few years since I think I was last there in 2018, because I did Petit Le Mans with Corvette last year, so had done Atlanta pretty recently. But yeah, my neck took a bit of a pounding.
Really?
You know, it was cool to feel proper neck fatigue again. haven't got so much of that recently in Formula E, but yeah, no, it's cool tracks to drive at, and yeah, just looking forward to going to the awesome array of different circuits during the season.
And a full season with Action Express, with Pipo Durrani as your teammate. People, you've shared the paddock with him, although not necessarily competed with or against him directly in class. He's got a reputation as being one of the fastest, most aggressive drivers out there. So you two are immediately, particularly with Action Express running the car, you're immediately going to be looked at as title contenders. How do you deal with that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I sincerely hope that is the situation. I feel that, yeah, I've got big boots to fill, standing in next to Pipo, who's got, yeah, a ton of experience and super fast. And yeah, I've looked up to him and the racing that he's done over the last few years with awe. You know, that some of the laps that he's put in qualifying and the racing stints that I've seen him carry out have been mighty impressive. So, yeah, I just hope that I can fulfill the requirement on my side to get somewhere close to matching him, because, yeah, he's a great teammate to have. I think he's one of those people that probably pain in the backside to race against, but when he's in your car fighting for positions for you sort of thing, then absolutely brilliant.
He'd be asking you advice about the new addition to his family, I presume, as well. Is he just getting used to that?
Yes, yeah, that's exciting times for him on the horizon to become his dad. But yeah, I don't think anyone could be completely prepared for that. I've got three boys myself, and yeah, still learning every day. So
yes,
yeah, it's a cool experience.
I could hear from your experience in your voice there.
exactly
what I said. All right, so we're all excited about 2023. There's more tests coming up, as we've mentioned, after Petit Le Mans, and then we've got Daytona again later on the year before we get to the Raw. But this season isn't quite over yet. So what are you doing now? You mentioned your Formula E in the past that you've enjoyed. What are you going to be doing between now and, let's say, Daytona?
Well, yeah, I'm actually in the fortunate position for first time in a few seasons, really, where, yeah, my Formula E commitments have finished. They finished a month or two ago. And yeah, just got the LMDH testing now with Cadillac. I've got one more GT3 race in England in British GT to do. And that's it. So actually November and December are looking like fairly quiet months, which is nice. You know, it's been a frantic few years. Formula E calendar has been pretty hectic. And so, yeah, it'd be nice to see the family for a bit over Christmas.
How did you approach that in Formula E? Because at the start, nobody really knew, and then there's been big changes. We've gone from two cars to one car. We're shifting to another type of car, another generation of the car coming up. It has evolved, and it's evolved actually in motorsport terms quite quickly, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. I mean, I think from the early probably couple of seasons when people were very sceptical about it and its future, it's developed into a world-class racing series, incredibly high level, very, very technical. It's an interesting format. It's very different in many, many ways to conventional motorsport, which, you know, I totally understand. Some people are taken to it. Some people don't like it so much. It got to the point where just from a sporting point of view, I was struggling, you know, to have consistent performances. Sometimes it was brilliant, you know, sometimes I'd qualify on the front row, but I wouldn't actually know why I'd qualified on the front row. So then when I was struggling, I didn't really know what to focus on to try and improve our performance. So, after 4 years of doing it, I kind of just concluded that rather than banging my head against a brick wall continuously and getting depressed, I thought, you know what? Time to try and get back to racing that I love, and this opportunity with Cadillac to get back to IMSA racing is absolutely, you know, dream come true.
We know about you two. We know about the other side of the Cadillac, the other edge of the Cadillac sword, if you will, in IMSA competition. There is an opportunity for WEC and Le Mans, and I've been looking at calendars and expected dates and things like that. Is the opportunity for you and for people perhaps to do a bit of double duty? I know some of the manufacturers and some of the teams are going to do that, or is that still too far in the future, Alexander?
Well, it's a question that I'm asking as well, and unfortunately I don't have an answer at the moment. I would love to do Le Mans, but yeah, it's all dependent on entries and which teams get what. At the moment I just have no answer. I'm sure as soon as we do, we'll be sharing it.
Are you looking forward to this? You're a professional racing driver. This is what you do for a living. But within that, and everybody has a bit of a whinge and a moan sometimes about what they do for a living. Even me, I know I do. There's bits of what I do that sometimes get on my nerves a little bit. I'm not a big fan of all the travelling. Once I get to the track, I'm normally okay. But in terms of you, where you are right now, does this excite you, or do you just look at this as another job?
No, I mean, honestly, the two full seasons that I spent in 17 and 18 in IMSA were the two best years of my racing life.
Why was that?
And for me, the format of racing that we've got in IMSA is just the best that I've been a part of. You know, I've had races where I can remember Road America, I think it was 2017. One of our shocks broke down, like, I don't know, 10 laps into the race, you know, 2 hours, 40 minute race. Okay. Normally race over, you know, we went one or two laps down, you know, bummer. The whole weekend's done in theory. But the way the rules work, you know, we had a few more full course cautions. We were able to get laps back. And then with, I don't know what it was, but an hour to go or 45 minutes to go, suddenly we're back in the race. You know, we're on the lead lap and it's all to play for again. And I just love that continued excitement. You know, even at Daytona, you could probably go five laps down some years and get back into the race.
Yeah.
Whereas the experiences that I've had in the WEC, it's brilliant if you're fast, but if you're having an off weekend, it's so easy just for the race to just get away from you, and you're just out of contention from the word go.
Really?
Which,
that must be difficult at that point to keep your motivation up, Alexander.
Yeah, it's an odd one. You know, the couple of Le Mans that I did previously, it was just one that I did with BMW, but it was like within half an hour, you know that you're not going to, you're not going to compete at the front. And it's, I guess, you know, I can see it from both sides. You know, I can see that from one point of view, the way they neutralize the race, it's very fair.
Yes.
You know, it's very much about fairness, which
and
which
safety.
Is brilliant in some ways. Absolutely about safety as well. But I think IMSA achieves the safety aspect just as well. But then you get racing continuously throughout the race, you know, and that works both ways. It can be frustrating if you're fast, you know, and if you're at the front and able to hold your place there, the full course cautions bring other people back into contention and, you know, you've got to continuously defend your lead, but it's exciting. It gets, you know, my blood racing and it's the adrenaline pumping and it's, you know, it's what you want to do when you're spending much of your life going racing. It's you want to do the stuff that excites you. So that's the big thing about me coming back to IMSA was that I wanted to do it, you know, and whether it was GTs or prototypes initially, I just wanted to get back to IMSA racing. And then this opportunity arose and it was like, whoa, best of both worlds.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll finish off with this. And again, thank you for your time because it's much appreciated. I'll finish off with this. You've been used in your GT career to racing with what amounts to a works team, Pratt & Miller Work Corvette Racing with BMW. It was a factory team. Action Express are factory supported, but we're not going to have a GM Cadillac Racing branded team in IMSA for GTP. Are there subtle differences that you've got to get used to there? Does it make a difference in reality to you as a driver?
Interesting question. I don't know. I guess we'll find out in the fullness of time. But so far, the testing that we've done has felt, I mean, the testing that we're doing alongside Chip Ganassi, it feels like manufacturer testing, you know, that the feedback that we're giving to the Cadillac personnel. It's all sort of standard development things that we're discussing and working on. I don't know. I, so far, it feels proper, as it were. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe when the racing comes about, that's possibly where it changes a bit because normally in a works program, you know, it's just one team effectively, one end goal, and you're, if you have to let the sister car through, as it were, you do that, you know, and vice versa. And I don't quite know how that would work.
I guess
it wouldn't work. I don't know. It's not something I've put too much thought into. But
I was going to ask that because, yes, you know, and it's the old Porsche going back down through the years, and I am quite a bit older than you, but I have many times had interviews with somebody that says, we don't care which Porsche wins, so long as Porsche wins. That would be somebody from Porsche. You can bet your bottom dollar, pfennig, euro, mark, or whatever it was in those days, that it was very important to whichever Porsche team might be going to win or come second in the days of customer racing at the highest level, and indeed even in GTs. So right now you're working with Chip Ganassi, but of course, in some ways, they're the first people you want to beat, aren't they, when you get out on the track competitively in January?
I think we want to beat everybody. You know, Action Express has had a brilliant history in the series, and we want to continue the winning ways. I don't think we'll treat the Ganassi cars as anyone different on track. Honestly, if anything, you know, you give a little bit of extra room because of the Cadillac connection. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting dynamic because I've not had that before, where there's sort of effectively two semi-works teams. But we'll see. You know, I'm sure it'll all be amicable and hard racing, but fair racing's always the way that I like to work. So looking forward to it.
All right. So I haven't seen this car now. I've seen video, I've seen pictures. It looks great. What's the thing when I see it on the Monday after Petit Le Mans? I've got my separate credential. I'm ready to go for all of that. What's the thing do you think I'm going to be most impressed or interested in with this with this brand new Cadillac VLMDH?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot here, John.
I've heard the sound pretty good.
The sound's brilliant. Yeah, I don't know. As someone who's fully versed in DPI cars, I think to look at it's fairly similar, you know, the fundamentals of it. But yeah, it sounds good. And I'm really fascinated by the technology, you know, the addition of the hybrid unit, the scope that it adds to work on different things for fuel saving, the car dynamics with the hybrid unit,
right,
and the electric motor is pretty interesting. But yeah, I don't know. Honestly.
And is that going to be controlled by you? Is that pre-programmed that when your throttle gets to a certain area, or all of those things can be used in different ways?
Yeah, well, that's what we're working on right at the moment in testing and development, trying to understand how to integrate it best, how to use the hybrid energy to be most efficient but fast as well. It's really fascinating, and it's some of my Formula E experience is relevant to that. Some of it's a bit different, but yeah, it's a cool process that we're in.
You sound like you're really excited by this. I can't wait to see the cars on track. Sadly, Porsche and the 963 won't be at that test, but the other manufacturers will be. Alexander Sims, thank you very much for coming on and talking to us. Best to the family, and I'll see you. I take it you're coming in race week. You're going to be hanging around in the week, not just coming in for the test, are you?
No, I'm being terrible. I'm coming in for the test only.
Really?
I've got commitments, unfortunately, already.
All right.
On the Friday of race week, so yeah, I'll be flying in on Sunday.
I'll see
I'll
you
at the test.
I'll see you at the test, and thanks for joining us on Midweek Motorsport. Cheers, Alexander.
Thanks, John. All the best. Bye bye.
Alexander Sims joining us here on Midweek Motorsport, new Cadillac driver for 2023 with Pete Wood-Durrani in the Action Express 5.5-litre machine. Right, Tim Greer, where would you like to take us next?